I don't know what to do. Wait, we're not going to wait. They'll join as they come in. Delayed. Okay, so let's start the meeting at, I have 7:01 on my computer.
This meeting is being recorded.
Thank you. Meeting starting at 7:01. The first we have is public comments. I have no emails from the public. How about you, Bill, do you have anything from the public? I have nothing.
Nothing received.
Okay, and I don't see anybody in my gallery here from the public. So we're going to go ahead and move on. And item number three, which is the audit presentation. And so I will turn it over to Michael.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And again, I appreciate you moving us to the top of the agenda. I have what hopefully is a brief presentation that I will go through today with you. Again, just as far as introductions, again, my name is Mike Van Deventer. I am a partner at Mahoney Sable, ultimately responsible for overseeing the audit work and issuing the reports on behalf of the firm. Also joining me is Heather Seatman. Heather is a supervisor at the firm, and she was ultimately responsible for really the day-to-day execution of our audit procedures. So with that, Bill, do I have sharing capabilities? Because I will pull up that presentation.
You should. Let me double check here.
Yeah, right now it says disabled.
Let's see.
Shouldn't be all set.
Yeah, you should. You're a presenter. Co-host, okay. I mean.
Let's move this around. Okay. As far as the presentation, again, I'll cover the scope of work, the audit reports that were issued. I'll provide some brief overall financial highlights, and then I'll make our required communications, and then certainly I'd be happy to answer any questions that any of the board members may have. In terms of the scope of work, really no changes from prior year. We did do an audit of the town's financial statements. We performed that audit in accordance with both the auditing standards issued by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, as well as the government auditing standards issued by the Government Accountability Office. In addition, based on the level of funding that was received and expended by the town, we did also perform both federal and state single audits. The federal single audit was performed in accordance with the uniform administrative requirements, and the state single audit was performed in accordance with the state single audit act. In addition, we do also perform some agreed upon procedures on the end of school year reports that are filed by the school district with the State of Connecticut Department of Education. In addition to those assurance services, we do also perform some non-audit services for the town. And that consists of assisting in the preparation of the financial statements, as well as the schedule of federal awards, state financial assistance, and then the related notes. We also assist the town in converting your governmental fund financial statements to your government-wide financial statements. In order for the firm to be able to perform these services and remain independent of the town, management is required to oversee these services and ultimately accept responsibility for them. Again, Bill, as well as the finance officer slash treasurer, has ultimately accepted responsibility for those services. In terms of the audit reports that were issued, again, the main report is the report on the financial statements. So we did issue unmodified clean opinions on your financial statements. Again, unmodified opinion is expressed when we've concluded that the financial statements are presented fairly in all material respects in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the U.S. As established by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. Again, I do like to point out that our opinion does only provide reasonable assurance, so we do not provide absolute assurance that the financial statements are free from a material misstatement, whether due to error or fraud. Again, we do utilize sampling in our audit methodology. We do perform a risk-based audit approach. And again, because we're not testing every transaction, we can't provide absolute assurance. Reasonable assurance is still a very high level of assurance. In addition to the report on the financial statements, we do issue a report on compliance and on internal control of the financial reporting. Again, important to note here in this report, we do not actually express an opinion on your compliance with laws and regulations or on the effectiveness of your internal control. Essentially, during the course of performing the audit, if we identified what we consider to be a material non-compliance with the law or regulation, or a significant deficiency or material weakness in your internal controls, we're required to include it in this report. So I'm happy to report that we're not reporting any such matters in this year's report. And as a follow-up, we did issue two findings in the prior year. There was a deficiency in the integration and reconciliation between the town and the school district's general ledger. And then there was also a deficiency that was reported in the reconciliation of capital assets. So to follow up on those, again, management has addressed those. You know, we no longer consider those to be significant deficiencies in your internal controls. In connection with the federal single audit, we do issue a report on compliance. In this report, we do actually express an opinion on your major federal programs. For fiscal year 2021, your total federal awards expended were about $1.7 million. Your major programs were the Highway Planning and Construction Cluster and your coronavirus relief funds. We did issue unmodified clean opinion on your compliance over those grants. And we're not reporting any deficiencies in your internal control of the grant compliance. We issue a similar report in connection with the state single audit. For fiscal year 2021, your total state financial assistance expended was about $5.7 million. The majority of that is your education cost-sharing funds, which is not subject to the single audit. Again, about 1.6 was considered non-exempt. Your major programs were the Let's Go Connecticut Ramp-Up Program, as well as the Open Choice Program at the school district. Again, we did issue unmodified clean opinions on your compliance over those programs and not reporting any internal control weaknesses over your grant compliance. This next section goes over your financial highlights. And again, there's a lot of financial information that is included in your financial statements. This slide goes over your general fund budgetary highlights. Again, your original budget did plan for the use of fund balance in the amount of $200,000 to balance your revenues and expenditures. Your final budget did include additional appropriations of about $311,000, resulting in a planned use of fund balance of about $511,000. Your actual budgetary surplus was an increase of about $168,000. So that results in a favorable budgetary variance of about $679,000. That surplus was driven by favorable variances on revenues of about $371,000. Again, favorable collections on property taxes, conveyance taxes, and building permits, which were offset by shortfalls in investment income, again, driven by historically low interest rates. Overall, your expenditures were about $308,000 less than budget. And again, no budgetary instances of non-compliance were identified as part of our audit. This slide, again, a high-level overview of your governmental funds. So this includes your general fund as well as all of your capital projects and special revenue funds. Your total fund balances as of year end was about $14 million rounding up. That's an increase of about $616,000 from the prior year. Of that $14 million, the majority of that is in your general fund. Your general fund had an ending fund balance of about $7.9 million. That was an increase of about $113,000 from the prior year. Of that, about $7.8 million was considered to be unassigned, and that represents about 18.7% or about 2.3 months of your fiscal year 2022 budgetary expenditure appropriations. And again, that does not include the $100,000 that was assigned for use in your fiscal year 2022 budget. Your capital non-recurring fund has about $3.6 million. That was an increase of about $372,000 from the prior year. And then all of your other governmental funds had a fund balance of about $2.4 million. Again, an increase of about $131,000 from the prior year. The majority of that is in your WPCA operations funds. One of the things we do look at is if there are any fund deficits. And again, there were no deficit fund balances that were reported as of June 30, 2021. All right, this next slide goes over your government-wide financial statement highlights. Again, the town is reporting a positive unrestricted net position of about $8.6 million. And again, I should add that the government-wide financial statements, those are prepared on a full accrual basis of accounting. So that includes all of your capital assets, as well as all of the related debt, in addition to any pension and other post-employment benefit liabilities. Again, the majority of municipalities in Connecticut do have deficits in their net position, and that's really driven by unfunded net pension and other post-employment benefit liabilities. So again, the town is reporting a positive unrestricted net position, attributed to really low levels of long-term bonded debt. Again, your debt service represented about 4.7% of your budgetary expenditures in the general fund, as well as the positive funded status of your both your pension and your other post-employment benefit trust funds. In terms of your net pension liabilities, again, the net pension liability for the town totaled about $1.8 million. That was a decrease of about $4.1 million from the prior year. That was really driven by the significant market gains during the year. Again, your pension plan was about 92% funded. The net pension liability for the firefighters plan totaled about $42,000. Again, that was a decrease of about $94,000 from the prior year. That plan is also well funded at about 91%. And both of those plans, when you are determining the funded status, is using a discount rate of 6.25%. That is a significant driver in the overall actuarial accrued liability. And again, we do deem that discount rate to be reasonable. In terms of your other post-employment benefit trust fund, so that does reflect retiree healthcare benefits for eligible employees. You are reporting actually a net OPEB asset of about $519,000, which was an increase of about $618,000 from the prior year. Again, really driven by market gains on the investments. So again, as far as your overall funded status of your pension and other post-employment benefit plans, they do fluctuate year to year based on the market. But again, the town is in a good position in terms of your status. All right, this last section goes over our required communications. Again, these communications are really geared towards when the auditor runs into significant issues during the course of performing the audit. Some of these are just not applicable to the town's audit. As far as the first bullet here regarding our responsibility under our auditing standards, although we do assist in the preparation of the financial statements, they are the responsibility of management. All of the information in the financial statements did come from management. Again, it's our responsibility to perform our audit procedures and issue our reports on those financial statements. In terms of the plan scope and timing of the audit, again, no changes in the overall scope of work that was performed, and all reports were filed by the January 3rd, 2022 reporting deadline. I do want to add, I think as of year end, there were about 90 municipalities that were on extension. And so again, it was happy that we were able to get through the town's audit and be able to issue that by the reporting deadline. In terms of significant audit findings, again, we do review your accounting policies and practices. Do want to make mention of the implementation of a new accounting standard, which was GASB statement number 84 on fiduciary activities. That did result in the recharacterization of certain agency funds as governmental funds. The main example is student activity funds. Because of the administrative involvement of the school district, under the new standard, those are required to be reported as special revenue funds as opposed to custodial funds. So again, student activity funds were always included in the scope of the audit. They're just now being presented as governmental funds rather than as custodial funds. The implementation of that accounting standard did result in an increase in your net position of about $250,000. So you will see that adjustment in your financial statements. We're required to communicate any significant estimates and judgments. Again, those estimates are really involved in determining amounts on the government-wide basis, and they consist of estimated useful lives that are assigned to your capital assets, as well as discount rates that are utilized to determine your net pension and OPEB liabilities. We did review those estimates, and we did deem them to be reasonable and consistent with what other municipalities are utilizing. I'm happy to report there were no significant difficulties encountered in performing the audit. There were no uncorrected misstatements. Again, if we proposed an audit adjustment that management did not want to record, we're required to communicate that to you. There were no disagreements with management. We did obtain a representation letter. Again, nothing unusual was requested by us from management in that letter. Again, if we were unable to substantiate a transaction that we selected for testing and we were relying on representation from management, we would be required to communicate that to you. And again, we're not aware of any consultations by management with any other independent accountants. So I will open it up at this point in time to any questions that any of the board members may have. Typically, I would stop after each section. Virtually, it's a little bit more difficult, but again, if you have any questions over any part of the presentation, happy to answer those now.
Thank you very much for that briefing. Can I just say or ask, my impression is overall after reading this afternoon real fast in your presentation is, to put it in layman terms, the town's very solid financially. Is that a correct statement?
Correct.
Okay. And so I but you do have a question, and it had to be with the, and I don't know which page it was on. It had to do with the debt. You said we were about 4.7%. I can't remember what page it was on. I see you flipping it there.
Yeah.
The question I have, you said the other towns, we're in the positive, but the majority of the towns in Connecticut are in the negative?
Correct, in terms of an overall unrestricted net position.
Okay. Do you know what their debt services is in comparison to us? I'm just trying to get a comparison here.
Yeah, so typically we'll see municipalities with debt services between 5 and 10%. Again, a lot of debt policies will cap that at about 10%. So again, 4.7%, you're kind of below what I would consider kind of to be the average.
Okay, so all right, well, thank you. That tells me we're managing our money good here. So, okay, thank you. Does anybody on the board or external from the board have a question?
You just asked mine, Ken, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Meet me to it.
Good, great minds think alike.
Sarah's got her hand up.
Oh, Andrew, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm here. So if the minutes reflected, I didn't show up. I did about 2 minutes after the meeting started, so I'm here. Go ahead,
okay,
sir.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for pointing out the position of Canton relative to other towns, because it's not reflected in the numbers in here, but knowing where we are, really we're doing very well relative to a lot of other towns, especially during COVID. So I always appreciate seeing this every year. I think this is a very helpful report. It's sort of good to get a nutshell idea of where our town is sitting. So thank you.
I definitely like to see these reports, good, bad, or ugly. Definitely like to see the reports. And like Sarah said, how we rank, at least relative to other towns. I don't know if it's all municipalities you're comparing us against or just municipalities of similar size. I'm not sure what would be the best apples to apples comparison. Whatever the best apples to apples comparison is, I do like to see that. And it lets us know that, I think like Ken said too, we're doing a pretty good job here with regards to managing the town's finances.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew and Sarah, for your statement, sir. My personal position on this, and this is what Bill and I talked about it earlier, I do believe in an independent audit for the town. So, I mean, that's right out of my college classes to do this. And I did have several workers when I was working who went through the Winston fiasco up there. And I'm not losing sleep over this because we do it every year, but this is the importance of having an independent audit so we don't wind up with the shenanigans that go on in other towns. And I'm glad we are stable. That's, I don't know what other word to use. We're very stable in our town for our finances, so thank you. Okay, does anybody else have any questions for him before we let him go? Okay, I don't see anybody. I don't have a full screen of everybody. I can't see everybody. So if you have your hand, speak up or audio-wise to speak up.
If you would stop sharing, we can see each other again.
Oh, there it is. Okay, good.
And I will just add again, I know there's a lot of information in the financial statements. It is a long read, but if you do have questions, again, feel free to run those through Bill.
All right, we will. Thank you very much. And thank you too, Heather, for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
So if that's all, if nobody else has any questions, we'll go ahead and excuse them for our meeting.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You guys good night. All right, so that brings us down to the beginning of our normal meeting. We're now at the monthly reports for the town, financial highlights.
All right, thank you, Ken. So yeah, I am unmuted. All right, good. Tax collections, I'll start off with year-to-date revenues are at 62.23% of budgeted compared to last year at the same time of 61.71. Tax collections, which were budgeted at 99%, are currently at 66.53% of budgeted. The interest income, this interest income reported in December does not include the People's Quarterly, came in January. But with that, People's interest, it comes to $27,290. So we are looking at coming to about 70% of budgeted for the year. When we extrapolate that out.
It's funny to say this, but I think that's actually good news.
Yeah, it's a little bit ahead of what I was anticipating just a few months ago. So it is, I don't know if we'd call it rebounding, but it is heading in the right direction. The building licenses and permits continues a positive trend, bringing in an additional 33,000 year to date. In excess of 187,000 or 89.29% of budgeted. That's the extent of my highlights for the revenues for the general fund. Does anyone have any questions before I go on to expenses?
I don't see anybody.
Okay. For the year-to-date expenses, we're at 59.4% of budgeted compared to last year at the same time of 60.9%. Just indicated a few highlights here. Just want to notate that, you know, we'll have an ongoing equipment purchase overage in the CAO for the Zoom license and fees costs, so we can meet in this manner. And the advertising, as you're aware, we've had some vacancies, so there are job placement ads, which will that budget line item will exceed the budget as well. Tax collector, I indicated this in the past. I just want to give a little overview of some of these ongoing items for the new board members. The tax collector and finance officer departments, they appear over budget throughout the year due to needed quarterly entries so we could allocate portions of salary costs to the special revenue funds. They do get trued up each quarter, but with encumbrances, they will appear over until the end of the year. The assessment part-time will exceed budgeted for this year, even though the assessor obviously is down just because of some additional part-time support until we get that position filled. I've indicated this one in the past with the town hall part-time. That's going to be over budget due to the extra cleaning we had over the summer. The property and casualty, this line item will be over budget by about $10,000. We had underestimated the cost of the cyber policy for last year, but this year we have a better handle on what we feel like the cost is going to be. Fire vehicle and maintenance. It's exceeding budget right now at about $9,000, just due to some necessary repairs on the tanker and rescue unit. Police supervisor salary is over budget, but should be offset by grant funds once received for emergency response. Police private duty, there's an encumbrance of $2,167, but this will be adjusted with the collection of fees. Police department equipment, I've mentioned this one in the past, but this will exceed budget by $19,261 due to encumbered camera purchases. This overage, though, will be offset with grant funds that we should receive in the next coming months this year. DIRI overage of $8,732, this will be adjusted and offset also with grant funding. And the community center heating and cooling repairs will be over budget, but there's no, there's not much anticipated additional costs for the remainder of the year for that one.
Do we know what the cost is? I'm sorry, Bill, do we know what the cost is for that repair?
Well, there was a few repairs made. That right now it is, I believe, functioning and operating, but additional, you know, repairs, unanticipated repairs were needed for it.
Okay.
I don't have the cost
If I could just add, one issue, if you go to the town meeting, that's scheduled for Wednesday, downstairs, their purpose room, the HVAC is actually not working, and the cost to repair that is about 26,000, I think, was low bid. We're asking the board selectmen for funding at this next meeting in order to fund that. So right now we have space heaters in. It's,
I was going to say, that could be pretty chilly Wednesday night.
I'll try eating a lunch in there if you're a senior. We put a lot of space heaters and things in there to try to heat it up. But because of the back order, just for even if you order, it'll be a couple months before we get it. So that room will remain somewhat uncomfortable for the next few months, but that is, I just wanted to point out, that is a major expense that's coming up, but it'll be funded out of the CIP. So we have funding elsewhere to pay for that.
Any other questions on the first
slide? I had a couple questions on the expenses. One, we talked previously about filling the detective position in the police department, and I wondered where we are on that. Looked like it was still, those lines were still zeroed out.
Yeah, the detective has not been appointed as of yet, but the recruitment process, or the selection process, I should say, begun. It will be an internal candidate that gets that position.
And what happens with the money for the detective salary that hasn't been spent during the prior part of the year?
Well, it won't be spent unless we need to spend it. So it would remain in that account, but there could be overages at the end of the year and other salary line items that would help to offset.
Mm-hmm. And then I wondered, traffic fines, is it something like 6.9% of budgeted? And I wondered why that was so much lower.
Yeah, don't we get those returned at certain times of the year? I thought we had talked about that. We get the,
so that's coming back to state?
I think so. I believe so. I thought we had looked at that, Bill, and we said it was coming back in late spring or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the majority of that does come back from the state, and we get it a couple times a year. We should get some more revenue in spring.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions here on this one? We'll keep going through the general fund revenue and expenses, page 4, or down to the special revenue funds, page 21.
Yeah, I'll move on to the special revenue funds.
Okay.
Yeah. Starting with Park and Rec. So the revenue is currently exceeding the expenses by approximately $31,000 compared to this last year at the same time. We're ahead of revenue by $19,379. The reason for this is program fees are up by $70,000 as compared to the same time last year. The WPCA revenue is currently exceeding expense by approximately $485,000, same time last year. Revenues were also ahead of expenses, but by $449,209. And the main driver was the sewer use fees are up this year by about $27,000 compared to the same time last year. The sewer assessment, talked about this last month, anticipating revenue. The revenues are now exceeding expenses by $257,765. Last year, same time, expenses were ahead. Last time, expenses were ahead of revenue by 2,140. Main driver of this for this this current year's performance are the connection fees revenue is up $266,400 as compared to the same time last year. EMS, special revenue fund. Expenses are currently exceeding revenues by $125,301. The last year, same time, expenses were also ahead of the revenues, but by less, $71,138. The main driver of this is the contracted service fees. They're up from last year at the same time by $41,000.
Going back to the sewage treatment plant for a second, do you have, and you may or may not know the answer to this, we're getting more connection fees. What's our reserve in terms of capacity at the plant? Do you have any idea what we're doing in terms of percentage capacity used or remaining?
I can answer it. It depends on the weather, quite frankly. If it's been dry, we'll be around somewhere between 55 and 65% of capacity. If it's a time period where we've had some rains, we'll be in the high 80% capacity. I think averaging right now, we're around 70%, which is much better than we were, several years ago. But it is very specific. Once we make some of the repairs we're going to do, some of the pipes, align the pipes and prevent water from coming in, that issue of having increased or decapacity when it will somewhat go away. They'll always be there a little bit, but it really depends on, and again, once we do those repairs. Just real quickly, as Bill mentioned, we got a significant amount in on the connection fees. Most of that was generated by 3 to 5 Cherry Brook, but the apartments are coming in. They just paid their connection fees. And I don't remember exactly what the number was, but it was a very large number.
$275,000, yeah.
In a fun way, I believe that they have their budget, they're looking at expansion in the future here of the treatment plant. Am I right on that?
It's not the expansion in your overall capacity. That comes from license from deep, and they're not looking to amend the license at the moment. It'll come from, essentially, there'll be less affluent going through the plant. Because right now there's a lot of water that seeps in there.
Right.
The water seeps through the pipes, and we end up having to run it through the system. We can make the pipes leak less, obviously less water going through the system. So our overall capacity will still be about 1 million gallons. But instead of running through 600,000 a day, we'll only be running through 500,000 a day because we'll be keeping it around.
Yeah, it's clearly to our advantage to try to reduce the infiltration so we can reduce the overall capacity that it's running the high number, because that's what DEP looks at when they go to look for an expansion. The reason I was asking was I assumed that the new hookups is it 3 to 5 Cherry Brook, the new apartments up there? But if we are looking, and hopefully, the Collins Company would redevelop at some point, that would be a lot more hookups. And I just want to make sure that we are going to have the capacity or planning, because it's not the long-term development plan right now to expand the plant.
Well, that's why I was asking. I thought at one time we had a discussion that they had were looking at in the future or have the ability to actually physically expand now. Whatever, there's another tank. I don't know what the terminology is. And I thought we had a couple of years ago, we had a discussion on that.
We did. And that's why I was wondering what our capacity was looking at right now. Because that's something we want to keep our eyes on. In theory, WPCA saves money toward doing that. But if we have to expand that plant, that's a huge expense. And the other question is, where are they going to put it? They were about to build a fire station on the place that would have been the expansion area for the sewage treatment plant. So it's a
thing to think about. I was under the impression a couple of years ago, Mr. Skinner will have to correct me, I thought that they had the capacity physically right there to expand right where they're at.
They're, when we put the new high facility, we did map out an area where additional things could go if it was necessary.
Okay, all right.
This point, see, necessary, and you know, if they can fix the information, the water, the existing capacity in the plant should have satisfied it for a number of years, decades, hopefully. But again, we have looked at the capacity of the new development in Collinsville, the actor coming out, and they have plenty of capacity for that. The biggest concern there wasn't so much the overall capacity of the plant, was the size of the pipe going from the factory over to the WPCA, and we did need to look at that, and that did have capacity in it, although I think it needs a little more analysis.
Doesn't Avon have some more reserve with us too? That they have some that they have not used.
I don't know. It sends most of their sewage over to Farmington. I don't believe a great deal. That there may be some out of the Secret Lake area that comes over to us, but most of theirs go to Farmington. In fact, we used to send over to Farmington, and we found by taking it back and bringing it to our own plant, since we now have capacity for it, actually saved us a considerable amount of money. But I, as far as I know, I don't think too much of Avon, I could be wrong, but I don't think too much of Avon comes into Canton.
We're just thinking, it's something we ought to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, that's long-term planning. I know that's something's going to happen this year, but it just, for board members to understand that this is one of the things we've got to look at. Okay, Mel, go ahead. Take it away.
Moving on, transfer station revenues currently exceeding expenses by $42,472. Similarly, last year, same time, revenues were also ahead of expenses by $44,000. That was my last special revenue fund, if anyone has any questions.
Anybody? I don't see anybody. Anybody else have? Oh, okay. All right. Investment income, page 36.
So, firstly, is the investment income. We just discussed this. The People's Quarterly came in, which, when added to the half year, you know, gets us to a point where we think we're going to hit about 70% of budgeted for the year. A little bit better than initially. I was thinking more like 50%. I'm just thinking of what would be a highlight here. I mean, tax collection's in good shape at 66.53% of budgeted. And lastly, the undesignated, unassigned fund balance included an updated slide on that as well, and pulled out. I just added one item from last month that was identified that I hadn't captured in here, which was the police officer appropriation. Still looking at 18.1% or 2.2%. I mean, 2.2 months worth of fund balance, which is in very good shape. And also, that was part of what was discussed in the audit presentation at 2.3 in the year.
So, Kate, we're doing good there. So, this brings us down to monthly reports for the Board of Education. Assistant to the Superintendent for Financial Affairs.
How you doing? Can we give me a longer title, please?
Yeah.
All right. There's really not much to talk. I'm going to be a lot shorter than Bill, I think, only because we haven't really had any significant changes from last month. So I don't want to bore you twice, really. So I don't know if you got a chance to look at the highlights. And if you have any questions, you can just let me know. Everything is kind of the same.
Okay.
a quick question, kind of trying to balance out the things where you're ahead and where you're behind. It looks like maybe you're down about 141,000. Does that work out? I was just looking at things that are negatives and things that are balanced out by subtracting from what you were getting back from the state.
Oh, you're talking about for the excess cost specifically, or?
I was looking at all of the items you presented. So some of them are negatives, some of them are positives, and trying to figure out if you take those against each other, what you come up with, I think, is down 141,000.
Well, there's actually, we're in the process of kind of forecasting out for the year. We don't anticipate to be under for the year like that. If that's what you're...
When I say down, I mean like over what was budgeted, so that you might need more money.
I don't think we're going to need more money. We're kind of in the process of forecasting out a little bit, and but honestly, looking at it, we're not planning on coming in and needing more money.
Okay.
Just for clarification, Katie, I don't know. I think you have to have to correct me on this, Donna. I don't think going down her highlight list with the plus and minuses would give you a real figure.
Right, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
So I wouldn't, you know, it's good information to know, but I wouldn't take a calculator on it and sum the top that title. It's not an Excel column. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But asking her the question was the correct thing to do. I'm glad I like Donna's answer. I like that you may not be asking us for money, which is always music to our ears.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at, was are they going to need more money or aren't they?
Right.
No anticipation of such right now.
Okay, thank you. All right, so with no other questions there, we're going to go down to item number 6, Board of Selectmen, update and referrals. So I'll turn that over to Mr. Bessel.
Sure. Well, the big news is that on Wednesday, we all get to gather together in the community center rec room, and hopefully we don't freeze while we review and hopefully approve the ARPA spending plan that we came up with and bounce back and forth between our respective boards. We're very pleased about that. We are following that. We'll be discussing the mechanism by which organizations can apply for some of those funds. As you know, there's some that are earmarked for arts, small business relief, and a couple other things that would really need organizations would need to apply for. And then we need to have a process by which we select the ones that are going to receive the money. So at this point, that's all I have. Bob, did you have something?
Yeah, the only other item I want to mention in your package is the grant list. As you can see, the grant went up 2.6%. That is a fairly healthy. In fact, it's quite a bit more than what we would normally get. It's mostly in motor vehicles. Staying portion actually went a little bit, but it was offset significantly by motor vehicles and personal property. And so, that's a good sign. A little more revenue, it should bring in about an additional almost $1 million in revenue. Looking forward to next year, I think we can see that 3 to 5 Cherrybrook. Hopefully, it would be coming online by then, so we'd be taxing that property and maybe a couple of other larger, economic initiatives forward. Because obviously, we can't rely on motor vehicles every year, but because of the cost of used vehicles and some new vehicles, obviously that helped us out substantially so it is it's a larger increase than we've been used to, and that's a good thing.
Another sort of slightly different question. Where are we now on negotiating our bond issue and the possible refinancing?
Yeah, we've got a kind of like a bond package that we get from both our bond counsel and our bond consultant. We're in a process of completing that package. There's been a little back and forth along the line. That's what's needed. It's a little different. Some of the bond packages that we've done in the past, I think we worked out. We should have it back to them within the next week, and then hopefully get a, you know, come out with a bond sale schedule shortly thereafter. But we are in that process.
Because one of the things that would be really helpful for us, I think, as we're going forward into the budget season, would be to look again at those, that graph of when our spending on interest and principal is peaking and how it's coming down and when it's coming down.
Katie, I think we get that graphed every year for the budget.
Yeah, but it's, if we're refinancing our past bonds, some of them, what we thought it was going to be recently is could potentially be changing, and I just wondered when we might have the information on that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Selling them sooner than later would be better. We did do our cash needs for the project. We know the timing of them, and I think we should be able to bond for everything all at once, I'm hoping, which also, you may have some flexibility in how we refinance that other bond, and when we get the benefit of that, you may be able to take more up front or later on. That's probably a discussion we should have at some point. But, you know, as of right now, I think, you know, Bill and I are both working on trying to get that process going as soon as possible. But we updated bond payment sheets. We'll support and take a look at them.
Thanks. Back to this piece of paper, you referenced the real estate. You guys use the site called realtor.com, and I just wondered, do we have an association with that? Or I did go to the site and played with it and realized that my house is worth a lot more.
only when it comes time for us to tax it.
Yeah.
It's actually, if you look at realtor.com, they're all the same thing. All those real estate websites are the same. What we do is it was actually something that asked our current assessor, the one who's working part-time now, it's full-time before, Carrie, did a real good job of it. I think she's the first one I know to do it. You can on those webs to see if there's actually a view inside the house, and see if there's things that have been done, updated, things that are from the street card that would add value to the property, and she can actually check what we have off to some of those to websites, especially if she sees for one reason or another that the house may have more value than actually, you know, on the street card. She can actually cross-reference the websites to come up with what the, you know, maybe increased value in the house.
Well, it's just for my own personal investigation, I did hit several other sites, so I was I found them to be very agreeable. Other sites, they weren't far off. And another popular site was extremely off that everybody talks about. I won't say it here, but I was a little surprised. So I went to this one and checked it out. So that's why I was like,
we don't use them to value the house. We just use them in order to find out what the condition of the house is, or the things that have been added that we don't know about.
Okay.
So if it shows a beautifully finished basement, and on a street card it says it's dirt floor and rubble foundation, we know that, okay, we got to send somebody out to take a look at the house.
You don't think the public actually does things like that, do you?
No, wouldn't dare.
I know. I just had a window put in my basement. I got the email from the town hall saying your building permit's been approved. And I'm like, I'm doing this from Lowe's. Why, you know? So they went to you guys who got it. So I added my dollar into the revenue of the town.
Yeah.
Okay, good enough. I just wanted to see if there was any handshake relationship with them, or it was just public. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, if nobody else has any more questions on that, we'll go ahead and go down to the Board of Education updates and referrals. page 40 for those people who are following, I think. Board of Education, I know Lou or Donna, I don't know who's going to talk.
Donna should have had that, I think.
Well, gosh. I think I missed that.
I'm one of those innocent bystanders tonight.
Yeah, I would say. I don't think any updates aside from the financials.
Okay.
That I was aware of.
not something exciting coming with the Board of Education. I understand, just part of the year, sometimes things are a little quiet because you're doing the budget. And I've learned that over the years.
That's what I've been immersed in, so I apologize if Kevin didn't give me my heads up on that one.
I did talk to Kevin, and he mentioned there was nothing. And if Donna has nothing, then there's really nothing to move on. So.
There
okay.
you go. That's
right. Well, thank you. Now, I just want to check with my board. Anybody have any questions on Board of Education? Coming in? No? Okay. So that takes us down to new business. I don't have anything listed. No new business from anybody?
No, I have a couple of questions that are related to things we talked about at our last meeting that it was said we might get answers to this time. And I don't know if we want to talk about that now or when we talk about the minutes from the last meeting.
We can blend those two together, Katie, because I do have a question from the last meeting. I do have a new question, believe it or not, while I was going up the lift at sundown. We were talking where the town line was at sundown, and we thought it was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, my brother and I were looking at each other and says, how much taxes do we collect from sundown from operating their operation, which is mostly in Canton, not the bottom lodge, I understand that. I don't know if we hadn't have a figure. Do we collect any taxes from sundown? I don't know the answer to that one.
That's an interesting question, because the majority of the summit is owned by the Canton Land Trust and leased to Ski Sundown for a really, really tiny amount of money.
Yeah.
So given the land trust is tax exempt, that's an interesting question.
Yeah. Lance Perry's got a run over there. It's named after his father. He still does it. So go ahead, Mr. Skinner. See you.
I was going to say, I don't think we do collect very much. And I knew about the land trust and only the top portion of it. I don't believe we collect. I mean, I can check and verify what the exact amount is, but I don't think it's very much.
So at least we collect land taxes. They own property in Canton, so we'll at least get down to property taxes part of it.
Well, no, not necessarily, because if it's owned by the land trust, which is nonprofit, and then it's leased to the ski slope, I'm not sure how much we get a transaction.
I don't think that Sundown actually owns any property in Canton. I think the Canton land is all owned by the land trust. I don't think any Lance's land is used by Sundown either. I think the trails are all on land trust property. I could be mistaken about Lance. Lance may have a little piece of it, but the majority of it is land trust.
Sarah, why don't you give us a briefing at next meeting?
You can do that.
Thank you.
Happy homework. Thank you so much.
Yep, homework. Yeah, because I know you're on the land trust. And just give us a quick briefing on where the property lines are.
I can tell you that we have a long-term lease. We being the land trust has a long-term lease with Ski Sundown. And it's for very little money. And I can find out exactly how much it's for, but it's for very little because they're always running on the ragged edge of being solvent. Being a small mountain, they have to make snow and they have high expenses. So it's... Every time we come up with a renewal on the lease, we talk to them and they're like, oh boy, we're not sure we could have paid it last year. So, I mean, most corporations do things like that anyway, but I think in their case, it actually is probably true. But I'll find out.
Just an interesting note for everybody is that I know they put in a new water line from the Farmington River, from what I understand, to help them with the snowmaking. And their base over there has to be, in the 20 years I've been skiing, the deepest I've ever seen it. Yeah, today. So they've made a lot of snow there. So I think overall it's going to help them good. Sorry for the commercial interruption. But okay, so
I think you had a question.
Go ahead.
One was, do we know yet whether we got the grant for those fire department air packs?
Oh, they still haven't. We applied three times. Two we've got notice on. One is still outstanding. And
okay.
My understanding is that they haven't awarded all the funds out of that grant yet. Although we didn't get the other two. It, you know, it's a long shot, but it's still out there.
Okay, and then the other was, at our last meeting, you said you hoped you would have the final numbers on Town Bridge for us at this meeting.
Yeah, we just had a meeting about a week ago. I requested it with DOT, the contractor, and some of the town staff to go over the finances, because I still don't have a clear picture, and I have that. If DOT reimburses the town for everything that it should, it looks to have about $120,000 that would be over what we had currently had appropriated. It's still less than the amount we had originally appropriated, $200,000 out, so we'd have to come up with $120,000. But we still don't have any guarantee that DOT will pay their 80% of all the different costs. There's still information that they're looking for from the engineers in order to approve some of the expenditures. So some of the expenditures that the contractor had done, there was about 800 of expenses that they were still looking for information or were questioning in some form. The hope is that once we get them all the answers they're looking for, that they will approve those, but until that time, it's hard to tell. But from all the information I have, that's my estimate at this time is about $120,000.
So we're thinking, if everything's perfect and we still owe $120,000, are we thinking about that coming out of fund balance? Is that the?
That would be a discussion. I would come back to the Board of Finance. But yes, I think we'd have to schedule a town meeting, and it would probably come out of fund balance.
Okay.
Thanks. That the finances, Bill, you were talking about, you had a bid out over the pit, I'll say People's Bank, that you fill in everything I'm going to ask for. And you had I'm having a vacuum, the actual initials, you put it out. Thank you. By the end of December. So what came from that?
We did. We put it out. We received just one response. I'm actually in the midst of reviewing it against our current fee schedule with Peoples, as well as making sure that what they've outlined for services is aligned with our needs. But I have another week and a half or so to get that done.
Okay. All right. So this brings me down. Does anybody else from the board? I will go through. Katie, you spoke. Andrew, I'll ask you first because you're unmuted. Do you have anything?
No, I do not have anything.
Okay. Our second Andrew, number two, do you have anything? I see Andrew shaking your head now. Okay. Tom, how about you? Do you have anything?
Nothing. Thanks, Ken.
Okay. All right. Then, Sarah.
Nothing for me. Thank you.
Okay. So we have the minutes. Now we're down to, we have to get their approval for our minutes from the last one. I have it on page 59. This is starting, I think, of our minutes.
I'd like to move that they be approved as written.
Okay.
Second. Okay, Katie seconded it. Any discussion? I don't see anything wrong with it. I didn't see it when I read through there.
Good.
Okay, I don't see anything from anybody else. Okay, so let's take a vote for approving the minutes. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so everybody said, okay, that's unanimous. Approval. We do have a point out We had some very good minutes from the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education. If you haven't read them from my board, I recommend you do read them. There's some very good information. We have the upcoming meetings February 28th, last day of the month. And I want to point out, March is going to be very busy, so please nobody take your, you know, Florida vacation in March. The next meeting, I'm going to ask that we do it as a Zoom meeting. We may do it in person, but we'll make that decision about a week beforehand, depending on what's happening in the state. As I said before, we're going to assume it's going to be a Zoom meeting on the 28th. I'm hoping by March 14th, when we start the budget season, that we can actually meet that in person. But I'll just leave it at that. We'll see what history has in store for us for the next month and a half.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
I would love it if before the February meeting, if you would poll everybody individually and find out how people feel. Because I personally think it's easier for us to be in Zoom if we're all in Zoom versus having most of us live with a few on the owl.
I agree with that. I know I talked to Katie with it in the past that when we do the budget, I'd rather do it in person than do it on the Zoom.
I agree with that.
The last two on Zoom, it's doable. I think we get a better result when we do it in person. And the reason being is one of the negatives of the Zoom meeting is we can't read the body language of everybody. But you can do it in person on that, and that's important when we're negotiations over these budgets for everybody. Everybody involved. So we'll take it month by month, but that's my overall feeling of what I want to do in the future. So let's see what happens. Sarah, we'll do that. I'll take a poll of everybody a good week before, okay? Then I'll send off Bill and Rob Skinner how we feel, what we're going to do, and how we're going to do it. And we'll go from there. If nobody else has anything, I think we can conclude tonight's meeting very fast. I wasn't expecting them to be this fast, but sometimes it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move, we adjourn.
Okay. I got a motion.
Okay. Adjourn.
Okay, Andrew, maybe a second bit and no discussion. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Meeting is adjourned at 8:03.